Hello and welcome, or welcome back to the Quarter Life Queen podcast. I am so excited for you to hear my conversation today with Grace LaPiccolo. Grace is a young quarter life queen. She's in her early 20s, still in college. But when I think of somebody who is such a strong leader, both in formal leadership roles, but also just in the way she lives her life, I think of Grace. I have looked up to her for many years, and I'm so excited for her to talk about just her walk and her journey in her faith and how that's really shaped the things that she's interested in and the way that she leads, like I said, informal positions, and also just her peers by the way that she lives and treats others and advocates for what she believes in. She is so strong, so passionate. I do feel like I need to give a bit of a disclaimer that we were recording this in a recording room in the library. But there was some like chatter outside the door. So if you're listening alone in your house and you hear whispers and you're like, oh my gosh, is somebody in my house? It's just some tweens that were talking outside the room. So sorry about that. But this is a grassroots movement. So when we make it big one day, you can remember that you were a listener when there was bad audio. So thank you for bearing with me. And let's just get to Grace's conversation.
Well, welcome, Grace, to the Quarter Life Queen podcast.
Thank you, Susie. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. I'm so excited to have you. Do you remember meeting in high school?
Was it at Incarnate?
Yes.
I remember, like, with Quinn Berry.
Yes, because I was going to, like, a Presbyterian church in high school, and then COVID happened.
Yes!
And so that church was, like, not really doing anything.
Wait, did we, like, meet outside? Were we in the outside?
I don't know.
Or were we in the downstairs?
Outside.
I'm, like, having a flashback
you remember,
right now.
They used to have, like, services in the parking lot.
Yes!
During COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going there with Quinn, and I, like I said, was coming from a Presbyterian church, like, very traditional, like, people joke that the Presbyterians are the frozen chosen. Like, you kind of stand with your hands on your side, like, you go through the worship service or whatever. And so, honestly, Incarnate, which is kind of shocking, like, I feel like for most people thinking about, like, a Catholic church, was, like, one of the first times I saw people, like, worship, like, full on.
That's
like,
so good.
Isn't that so sweet?
That makes my heart happy.
Yeah, like, literally, parking lot, COVID, people, like, on their knees, like, hands up, like, just so, like, in the presence, like, so powerful.
And, like, the music's
cool.
So fire. We're spoiled
so
with Adam. Good. Like, he is just, like, so good at, like, engaging everybody in, like, the music and, like, giving people little cues of, like, it's okay to raise your hands if you need to. Like, he picks the right time sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, like, good.
I remember New Wine was, like,
yes.
That was, like, a go-to during
song.
That time. Yeah, so good. But, yeah, I don't necessarily remember meeting you super formally, but, you
but
know.
But I remember getting here and being, like, I know her.
Yeah, and then, okay, I was thinking about this. Because I think I saw you on a SLU tour, and I recognized you, and I was like, oh, like, I'm friends with Quinn, like, are you coming to SLU? And you were like, I don't know, I'm just here on a tour.
I'm just here for the vibes. Wait, so I don't really remember that one as much.
Yeah, well,
I'm
you were kind of busy, like, touring the school.
I know, I was probably just, like, overwhelmed. Like, to be so real, I don't really remember my tour at SLU. I just remember, like, okay, I'm going here. Like, I love it. I feel like home. I just don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And so then it's just been special for me to see, like, you grow at SLU, like, quite literally, just in the different roles that you've had on campus and being a leader, but also just, like, watch you meet new friends at SLU and all that, so.
And still, at the end of the day, we're just youth group girls going through it.
Those are my roots. Yeah.
And, like, carrying what I learned, like, in youth group in high school through, like, my daily life now, and whether it's, like, the way I treat people or, like, the bold comments I make about faith, especially in rooms that, like, not everyone is Catholic, but I'm like, hey, we're at a Catholic school, let's remember.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm a big, like, let's just sneak the mission in wherever we can.
Yeah. That's so powerful. But, like, did you always grow up really involved in your church, or what's that journey been like for you?
Okay, I love this one. yes, so, pretty much, like, my sister's 10 years older than me, and my brother's seven years older than me.
Okay.
So we, like, always went to, when I was, like, little, we went to 10 a.m. Mass on Saturday, or on Sundays, and then we would go get breakfast together, and then as soon as I turned, like, literally, like, 5, because that's when, like, my sister could start going to youth group, we started going to the 6 p.m. Mass, which is, like, the like praise, like rock and roll, like teen mass.
Yeah.
So that was always like cool, and it was always, to a certain extent, like it wasn't my choice. It was like, that's just what our family does. So I just went. And then in seventh grade, I went on like one of my first like retreats. Well, I guess it was technically sixth grade. Okay, it was sixth grade. Sorry, I lied. I went on one of my first retreats at Hidden Lake, which is like a life teen camp in Georgia.
Oh, gotcha.
And to be so for real, like I kind of hated it. I like was not outdoorsy. I also have disability, so I got diagnosed like literally a year before, and like my body, it was very like up in the air of like what my body was able to do. So
yeah.
I just didn't do a lot of things because I was like nervous to get hurt. So I kind of hated this camp, and I was like, yeah, I get it. Like we're hearing talks and like going to the lake and doing all these things that are like supposed to be fun, but like I'm just like overwhelmed and I don't really see how like God is loving me.
Yeah. That's good.
And I kind of left camp that year. Still, I like, if you asked me at the time, I think I would have been like, oh yeah, like it was so fun, like God's so present, just because I didn't want to be like the downer. But like reading like my journal from that time, I was just like, my whole journal is just like, does God actually love me? Like all these things of like just self-worth, like, ah, you know? And then I like journeyed through middle school more, and I ended up getting surgeries in middle school, which like actually sucks and is like the hardest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you're just like not with your friends, and like, you're the one that's like just different from all.
Yeah.
So that really affected my faith and like the way that I saw the Lord. And my brother was actually studying here at the time at SLU. And he was like a theology and Catholic studies double major. And he, like, there were just multiple conversations that I had with him like about faith that I think like every time like reignited a little bit more. And then I went on a retreat, Luke 18, like, or kind of around the same time, still not feeling, like, super in it, but, like, I was, like, convinced of, like, the Eucharist during that retreat, of just, like, the Lord is, like, present in this little piece of bread for some reason. I don't really know why, but it's, like, what I've learned, and, like, for some reason, like, it was becoming my own. Like, that was, like, the first retreat that I, like, really remember, like, my faith becoming my own. And then I went back to camp two more times at Hidden Lake, and, like, I started to like it more. I still didn't feel, like, completely in it, but I think I became more comfortable in my own body and my own disability. And, like, that made me a little bit more confident to, like be okay saying, like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this instead and not feel like an outcast. And then I went to high school, and I was really involved in campus ministry. I was, like, campus ministry president. Like, I was, like, literally, I was, like, the campus ministry girl. And I just, like, I don't know, like, I felt very, like, on fire in high school, especially because of, like, Incarnate and, like, the friends and the faith that
I
had
such a great
there.
Community.
Yeah, like, the Lord has to be present if, like, all those people are, like, loving me so well.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's, like, yeah, that was high school. And then I entered college, and like, I wouldn't say I ever lost my faith. I would say it like for sure dwindled a little bit though.
Yeah,
times.
That's real.
Especially through like, I changed my major, and I was like, I came in pre-med, and then I basically had like the worst summer ever. And I was just like, I was like working in the hospital all summer after my freshman year, and I didn't like anything about it, and I was like, well, this is probably not a good idea to like be pre-med and all this, but it was for sure like humbling to have to be like, okay, then I'm not gonna be a doctor, even though that's been my plan for all these years. And in the midst of that, my boyfriend Bryce was serving at Hidden Lake, the camp that I went to when I was in middle school, because he like didn't really know what he wanted to do. He just was like, I'll apply for something fun for the summer. And I was like, okay, yeah, you should do that. I'm gonna work in a hospital and like be really
I'm locked in.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like put together, okay?
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, awesome, see ya. And so he went there and did that, and I was at home, and like every phone call we would have, he would like tell me about just these awesome experiences of like camp. And the whole time he was there, I was just like thinking to myself how like I could never, like I could not do that. Like my physical body would not be able to like go through, because like he was sharing how exhausted he was, and I was like, well, if he's exhausted, like there's no way I won't be. And then something like sparked And I, like, wasn't really in a rhythm of prayer that summer, working in the hospital, like, at all. I was just, like, going to work, coming home, sleeping, not even really hanging out with friends, because I was just, like, so tired because I was working so much. And then, like, that next semester started of my sophomore year, and I was just, like, at an all-time low. Like, officially, like, started therapy during that time, like, got an anxiety diagnosis, just, like, all these things that, like, I had for sure been, like, shutting down.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, me stepping so far away from my faith was what, like, brought it up, if that makes sense. Or, like, showed it.
Yeah. Kind of, like, revealed some things. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that I was just, like, I was, like, staying stable because of, like, my reliance on the Lord and, like, my trust. And I think that as soon as it, like, it got shaky, I was like, ooh, I don't, like,
Yeah.
So I ended up switching my major, amidst, like, multiple panic attacks and just, like, not a good first semester pretty much. And then I was like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. I know that I want to do something in disability advocacy type stuff, but I don't know what that looks like. But since I don't know what I'm doing and all my friends are applying to internships, I might as well apply to something. And then I applied to camp.
Fun.
And I ended up getting accepted, and I was like, no. I literally told them in my interview not to accept me. I was like, low-key, like, there's for sure more qualified people. Like, people who have a better prayer life, people who have a better, like, physical ability to, like, care for these middle schoolers. And I was like, just, like, probably don't pick
that's me. So funny. I recently did something similar, yeah.
Wait, okay, literally, is that a thing? Like, do people do that in interviews, or are we just...
Yeah, I'm doing this kind of, like, leadership development program at my church. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, you know, like, if there's somebody else that wants this,
yeah,
like, really bad, like,
don't do me then.
Yeah, like, that's totally fine if you want to go with that person. Or, like, if there's someone with a better schedule,
yes,
like, let me
I
know.
I feel like that's a thing, like, as women that we do, though. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, discounting ourselves in order to, like, put another up out of, like, fear that, like, we're not working.
I think it's spiritual, too.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an attack on doing something that you're really called to do, but then I think that God can use that to demonstrate, even though you tried to sabotage yourself, like, I wanted you to do this so bad, like, I wasn't gonna let you get off course, so.
Yeah.
That's hilarious that
it
you said
that. It literally
was
so crazy.
And then it seemed like you had a fabulous summer.
Oh my gosh,
summer.
Yes, so I was there for 7 weeks, and this was in this past, it was like two, it was last, I don't really know how to say it. It's like not this summer that just happened, but the summer before, but... I was there for 7 weeks. I, actually, like, okay, wait, coolest faith story ever, probably. My prayer going into camp was just, like, if I encounter one kid that's, like, me, like, middle school Grace, who, like, doesn't really like her body or, like, doesn't feel comfortable in, like, what's happening right now, then, like, Lord, like, I'm here for a reason. And which is, like, so testing God, which, like, probably, like, pros and cons, whatever, I'm not getting into that debate, but, like
I don't necessarily think so. I think that you were just, I think you were making yourself available if that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
We'll say that.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. Yeah, but I got there, and I was just, like, it was hard. Like, week one was hard. I ended up going to confession with this one priest named Father Chuck, and he...
Father Chuck, love.
Father Chuck, he's dope. but he basically just, like, totally spoke into a lot of my anxieties that, like, I didn't even, like, tell him. But, like, it had to be the Lord. Like, there's no, like... Yeah, like, and he even just, like, sat down with me at lunch one day and was like, so what's with the leg braces? Like, he was very straightforward. Everybody else was, like, dancing around it, and I really appreciated him just being, like... what's with it? And I, like, and he said it in such, like, a loving and, like, fatherly way that I was, like, yeah, like, that's what I want people, like, I don't know, like, I was feeling, like, kind of uncomfortable because I had to, like, share my story so fast with so many people and, like, get really comfortable with them because we, like, had campers coming the next week and, like, we had to be comfortable with the community so that we were able to, like, love each other well and love these campers well. So he was just so straightforward, and then we ended up just, like, having a really good conversation about, like, the Lord, like, is not loving me, like, the Lord is loving me, and he's not, loving me any differently just because, like, my body is different. Like, he's loving me so intentionally for where I'm at right now, and it's not anything that, like, my like genetic disorder is nothing of my fault, nothing of my parents' fault. It's like,
yeah.
It's not because God loves me less or like
yeah.
anything like that. And just spoken to a lot of anxieties that like I've heard people speak into before, but like the way that he said it was just very like convicting.
Yeah.
Which was so good. So that was like my first week of camp. And then we went through 2 weeks of camp and I was like getting tired. So this was my third week there. And I just like shared with my captain, who's essentially like a person in the same role as me, but she's done it before.
Yeah.
So I shared with my captain, Maddie. I was just like, I'm
Maddie
struggling.
Awesome.
No, I wish. Bro, that'd be crazy. No, Maddie Nockin, who's actually, like, low-key very similar to Maddie Thompson. But Maddie Nockin, who she just, like, I shared with her, but she also, like, saw me and, like,
yeah.
like knew that something was up. And we just, like, chatted, and she was like, I have something to give you. And I was like, okay. And we were, like, literally, this is, like, weird, but we were just sitting, like, on the bathroom floor because that's, like, the place inside to chat at night.
Yeah.
So we were, like, sitting in the bathroom, on the bathroom floor of, like, our house that we were living in. And she's like, this is kind of weird, but I've had it in my pocket all day because I thought that you might need it today, and I don't know why. And she, like, handed me this relic of St. Jude, who is the patron of, like, hopeless causes. And a relic is, like, basically just, like, it's touched the saint at some
point.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So, like, it's, like, this holy object, and she hands it to me, and I, like, start crying, and I'm like, what? I'm like, how do you have this just, like, on you? And she's like,
why is it in her pocket?
And why, yeah,
Georgia?
What, literally, what? And she's like, well, Father Chuck gave it to me the first week. And
of course
she
did.
I was like, yes, Father Chuck! And she was like, yeah, he said, like, just give it to you when I thought you needed it. And
oh,
this
my
is,
gosh,
like,
that is
so
sweet.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. And, like, it so would not have had the same power if Father Chuck just, like, handed it to me just then. Like, it... Like,
yeah.
the power of, like, Maddie handing it to me at that time that I was, like, struggling was so real. And then, okay, listen to this. That was on a Sunday. We get campers on Monday. So, new crew of campers comes in every single Monday. So, Monday happens. Monday night, we do messy games, which is, like, mud obstacle course. My chaperone in my group, mind you, there's, like, 14 parishes there are 200 and something people on this field. My chaperone in my group of six girls and one chaperone, like, dislocates her knee, which happened to me in middle school. Like, that was, like, that was why I got surgery, because my knee's dislocated all the time and it hurts so bad. And she's standing two steps away from me, so I see her knee out. And, like, I've witnessed other people dislocate their knees before, and I usually run the other way because, like, I've thrown up when people
oh my
have dislocated their knees before, because it's, like, freaks me out.
Why have you
can,
seen
like,
so
feel
many dislocated
it.
Knees?
I don't know. It's only happened two other times, but one of the times I did throw up, and I was like, I can't. But for some reason in this moment, I, like, literally turned to her, and I, like, everybody's, like, crowding around her, and I'm like, I don't even know what really happened. I kind of blacked out. Like, my friend who was standing nearby, like, told me the story after, because I was like, I don't really know what happened. But I, like, essentially cleared everyone and, like, popped her kneecap back in place. And I, like, made eye contact with her, and I was like, hey, I need you to take a really big deep breath with me. And we, like, took a deep breath together, popped her knee back in place. And it's immediate relief, but it hurts. But it's,
yeah.
like, you're in shock. And the nurse comes over and is like, what just happened? And I was like, I reset her patella. And he was like, you what? And I was like, I put it back in place. I like, and I'm like shaking, and everyone around is like, how'd you know how to do that? And I was like, I don't know. And I like walk away. So like that night, I'm kind of just done. I'm out. The nurse takes her. And the nurse that week, we had a nurse. He
was
awesome.
That like has to be low-key illegal that you
like. Oh, like it like probably wasn't allowed. But essentially, the wellness assistant who's like the nurse's like helper, essentially, the wellness assistant was one of my friends, and she came up to me and was just like, just so you know, like, because you did it, it's chill, but like, I wouldn't have been allowed to do that. So I'm glad that you did it and got her out of pain and didn't like wait longer, because like more things can tear the longer it's out, and it
yeah.
hurts so bad when it's out. So it was me just like standing there, like feeling her pain, and me also being like, what the heck? Why did Maddie give me that thing last night? Like, I have this relic of St. Jude, like, in my backpack, hopeless cases, like, okay, I'm feel, like, my body oftentimes feels hopeless, so I'm like,
yeah.
okay, all right, and then I just was, like, shaken up. I, like, go back, whatever, for the night, and then the next morning, the other chaperones in the group came up to me and were like, how did you know how to do that? And I was like, oh, I have this like really rare disability. Like my knees used to dislocate though. Like it's a neuromuscular disease. And I like explained it all. And I was like, oh yeah, it's like degenerative. I'll be in a wheelchair at some point in my life. Probably like my nerves and muscles are essentially eating each other. And like, they just like didn't really talk, but just listened, which was like actually awesome. And then like towards the end of it, I don't really know why I didn't start with this, but I like, towards the end of it, I was like, oh yeah, it's called like Charcot-Marie tooth. And all of their faces like simultaneously drop. And there's like three of them sitting there. And they were like, no, you don't. And I was like, yeah, I do. And they were like, Allie has that. I said, Allie? And they were like, Allie, like one of the six girls in your small group.
Oh my gosh.
So Allie, one of my campers that week, had the same exact disability, which is like very rare. Like
that's
it's
wild.
It's not a common disease at all.
Yeah.
And she like hadn't even told some of her friends that she had it. Like she was very uncomfortable with it, which like I just like saw myself so much in her. I had to like run to a meeting. So I like go to a meeting and I'm like shaken up and I'm like, no way she has it. Like, Lord, what are you doing? Like,
yeah,
like this relic, this dislocated knee, and Allie has my disability. Like, I asked for that, I guess, but like you like literally gave it directly to me. Like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
And again, like one of my six campers out of like the 200 something there.
And like the fact that they didn't know the connection
they had,
is like even crazier.
Literally, I like asked everyone at like all the higher ups at camp, and I was like, "Did you guys know? Like, did you plan this?" And they were like, "We had no idea." And
yeah.
I was like, Okay, Lord. And they told, so the chaperones told Allie, and Allie like ran up and found me and was like, Grace, you have it too? Like, oh my gosh, my dad has it. How does it affect you? And like asked me all these questions and was like, wait, you're like kind of old. And I was like, I'm like 21.
Okay.
So Allie, okay.
Chill.
And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and you're like doing this. And I'm like, yeah. Like, it was so cool to, like, be the example that, like, I think I craved so much when I was in middle school.
That's so cool.
And then I got to, like, walk through every, like, talk and thing with her that week and, like, get to, like, pretty much just talk straight to her when we were, like, there are a lot of things at camp that, like, kind of were based on your ability. So it's, like, the trust fall or, like,
just
certain obstacle
things people take
courses.
For granted. Like,
yeah.
You never even think about
yes.
it.
Yes. But, like, there are so many things that we, like, tie to our faith when we're, like, doing this, like, obstacle course. And it's, like, well, you're trusting in the Lord. But, like, when your body doesn't work, it's trusting in a lot. Like, you are trusting more than, like, others.
Yeah.
Which, like, you shouldn't compare. But still, like, it's
different.
No, it's
that's
different.
Real.
It's
that's
different.
Real. It's a different level of trust. Like,
yeah. Because you, like, you're trusting your body that, like, doesn't fully work.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, so cool. I got to, like, walk with her that week through. And she, like, did the obstacle course that she hadn't ever done before. And she, like, told everyone she wasn't going to do. And, like, all this. And, like, it was just such a special moment. And she literally left and I, like, cried. And I was, like, no way. Like,
that's
I'm,
so
I'm like, in shock. Like,
yeah.
No way that just happened. And then I actually got to go to Louisiana to be her confirmation sponsor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, like, months later. And it was just, like, so special to, like, get to meet her family and, like, get to talk with her, like, about her faith. And, like, her even leaving on the last day, she was like, yeah, I want to be a missionary when I grow up. And I was like, bro, like, I didn't even know that was an option when I was in middle school. Like, I had no idea that, like, someone that, like, couldn't, like, quotes, couldn't do everything, like, could do this, like, which was just so special.
And that's so cool that it was like at a camp you didn't want to go to because you were scared of
and a camp that I felt so convicted to be at, and I was like annoyed that I kept getting this like conviction, like, it kept coming up in prayer, and I was like, no, like, that was Bryce's thing, he did it last summer, like, what should I do, Lord, like, what, like, where am I gonna be placed right now, whether it was like picking my major or like what I was doing for the summer. And like life team just like kept coming up and I was like, bro, why? And then like that happened and I was like, whoa, like, he has
so
a bigger
good.
plan.
He knew exactly
so
what he wanted to do. I love that. And with that too, I remember like having a brief conversation with you about this, but I think I was talking about like sexism in the Bible and like how a lot of things like can be perceived as sexist, and you kind of made a comment of a lot of things can seem ableist too. And that's just never been a perspective I've thought of before. And I know that's probably been like a process for you of learning how to understand your disability and also, like, God as a healer mm-hmm. and also as just a friend and mm-hmm. a brother and, like, you know, navigating the relationship with all those things. So what yes. was that process like for you?
Okay, that's, like, so funny because that was part of my experience this summer.
Okay, great.
Which, like, you don't know, so that's actually
I
crazy.
Don't.
Okay, Lord. So I got, like, the privilege of being asked back to be captain for this past summer.
Okay, cool.
So I got to walk with a whole new crew. And again, even getting that phone call, I was like, dude, I am not, like, what? Like, Lord, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I will. And this summer, like, one of our first weeks, we talked a lot about, like, healing prayer.
Yeah.
And I, like, got frustrated.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, and it's, like, hard because it's, you don't want to sit there and say that you don't believe that it could happen.
Yeah.
But you also, it's almost not hopeful to hope, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's, like, not, like, we can sit there and talk about, like, the healings that have occurred and the miracles that have occurred, like, in the Bible or even, like, current day. Like, things do happen. And I don't, like, discount any of those. But, like, for my story, it
right.
is not helpful for me to, like, go into, like, mass or adoration or prayer time every time and be like, okay, Lord, like, you can heal me this time if you want. Like, that's not, like,
yeah,
that's not productive. So it really was this summer, like, talking so much about healing prayer and, like, having, like, some people around me who are just so open to, like, hearing my concerns and my, like, honestly, doubts.
Yeah.
But also following it up with, like, you doubting this does not, like, mean that you don't trust in God. It doesn't mean that, like,
mm-hmm.
like, you just don't love him or don't want him as a friend. And I think, like, have you watched The Chosen?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you watched The Little James?
I have,
okay.
Yeah.
So, the, like,
I thought that was so good.
Like, it's, like, that is what, like, I have to grasp onto.
Yeah.
Even though it's not actually even biblically accurate, but it's, like,
I feel like the heart is there.
Yes. Like, the way that, like, Christ, like, is depicted everywhere in the Bible, though, is, like, I know he would say that. And, like,
yeah.
I feel that he would say that.
Yeah.
Which, like, is him saying it. And I also, like, totally trust The Chosen because they, like, pray about every, like,
yeah.
every episode.
It's
they
cool.
have, like, full-on prayer teams. Like, okay, I can nerd out over that all day. Like,
I love that. I love that you know so much about it.
Yeah. Because I literally, like, I saw it and I was, like, and it's also, like, something that people bring up all the time. It's like, oh, like, you have this disability, like, watch this. So I, like, then, like, recommended it multiple times. And
I think I said it to you.
Probably.
I think
it's
I said
so
it to
fire.
You.
It is so
ago.
Fire. But, like, it was so cool this summer. I actually got to, like, walk through with one of our guys who, like, athlete, soccer guy, twisted his ankle, like, twice this summer. Like, he could not get a break. He was sick, and then he twisted his ankle and, like, couldn't walk and, like, all these things. But, like, his, like, pride was getting hit. So I got to, like,
yeah,
walk through, like, that narrative of like, what Jesus said to little James with him.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that, being able to do that is, like, it, like, gives purpose to, like, my suffering.
It's honestly a very high calling.
And it's so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it is such a high, like, it's insane the amount of, like, suffering and pain that, like, I go
yeah.
through to be able to, like, turn around and tell my story.
Yeah. It's very brave, though.
I appreciate it. It's just, like, I don't know. That was just made so evident this summer. And, like, I already knew that I was, like, by that point this summer, like, I knew what I wanted to do for a career, which is, like, pursue, like, disability law.
Yeah.
And, like, advocate for, like, an accessible world. And, like, in that moment, it was just made even more clear. And, like, the moments with Allie, even, like, it was made even more clear that, like, my story is gonna be used for good.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, even at SLU, like, I would have never gotten involved in student government if there weren't, like, accessibility barriers that I, like,
yeah.
was literally mad about. Like,
yeah, and, like, I don't want to discredit the fact that it is really hard, like,
yeah.
the disability that you have, and I'm sure, like, you experience a lot of pain and doubt
yeah.
and frustration, but from, like, a perspective, like, someone like me, like, it's so evident, like, how God is using that
yeah.
to, not only like work on your relationship with him in terms of trust, in terms of humility, but also like how that's been a testimony to so many other people. Because like if you can, you know, shout and worship the Lord like in the midst of that like struggle, like how much more can we trust him with like other struggles that people have that may be more invisible, but they can be just as debilitating in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's so. Like literally, yeah. And it's like been really like cool to like actually lean into that. I think when I was younger, there were a lot of times that I was like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to be the poster child. I don't want to
yes.
be the one that like has to do this. And the more I've grown up and the more I've like grown in relationship with the Lord, even like I feel like so much more like convicted that like this is like something that like the Lord is calling me to do right now.
Yeah, that's so good.
Even when like sometimes it sucks. And like I think the Lord has for sure put people in my life that like know me and know my heart and like know my like physical body so well.
Yeah.
That like I don't know, like he's provided me with people who like
yeah
can help.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I kind of wanted to ask you about this.
Yeah.
So for like context of the question, so I had an eating disorder in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And once I kind of recovered from it, I felt like I would talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have like empowering conversations with other people to maybe give advice or like kind of be a testimony in that way of like how God brought me through that. But I feel like at some times it was almost like an identity of...
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, having an eating disorder can be an identity, but then it kind of became, like, being recovered from an eating disorder was my identity, which is an idol over God.
Yeah.
And so I know that you do a lot of disability advocacy, you do a lot of public speaking about it, but how do you, like, separate that, like, so it's not an idol in your life, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, you still, like, the most important thing about you is that, like, you're a chosen child of God,
mm-hmm.
not that... you have a disability and that's a platform that you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the biggest thing for me is the fact that like I bring everything to prayer.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
even like I got the like literal privilege of speaking at convocation and like, even that, like I wrote that speech in the Adoration Chapel.
Yeah.
So like, I think that my thought is like anytime I'm speaking about my disability or speaking about any part of my identity, honestly, it's
yeah.
like I'm still, whether I say it out loud or not, I'm still like putting tones of the Lord in it.
Yeah.
One thing that like is kind of funny about my convocation speech is I actually don't say God, Jesus, anything like referring to him at all, but the tone that I have the entire time,
yeah.
I actually my grandpa pointed this out to me, which is kind of funny, because he, like, saw it. Well, he, like, live-streamed it, and he texted me right away and was like, that was totally the Magnificat. Like, I saw it the entire time. I know that you based it on that, and I was like, Grandpa, I literally did it, but that was, like, part, like, the Magnificat was, like, part of my prayer all summer.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you are praying constantly, it will just seep into the rest
yeah,
of your
that's
ideas.
So good. Yeah.
And I think that, like, my grandpa pointing that out in me, I was just like, okay, Lord, like,
yeah, that's
like
you, Lord.
It was such like a reminder that, daily prayer and like true devotion to the Lord will seep into every other facet of your life. If you
yeah.
will let it pretty much.
Yeah. And that makes those opportunities where you do directly share your story,
yeah.
like even more powerful
yeah.
because it's not you glorifying yourself or your situation, but like God's work throughout it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's practical. I think
yeah.
that's really good.
And oftentimes I do share like straight up about my faith journey. Even when I'm in like a secular,
well, it's like, how
like,
can
thing.
You not?
Exactly.
Like, it's a part
like,
of
the
everything.
Majority of the time I do. And like, I also am always one to pop my crucifix and just be like, just, you know, like,
yeah.
like I think it really does come across in, like the way that I present myself.
Yeah.
And
that's huge.
Like, at the end of the day, I would rather somebody around me not know that I was, like, Catholic or Christian at all, but I do, like, I don't, basically, I'm saying, like, I would rather them not know that, but know that, like, Grace is someone that, like, exemplifies joy, love, like, hope, like,
yeah.
all these things that, like, are, at the end of the day, about my,
yeah,
like,
they're fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, that is, like, my goal,
yeah.
'cause I don't want people to, like, I think sometimes people hear, people who are not, like, a part of the faith hear, like, yeah, like, the Lord saved me, and then they're kind of, like, turned off by the rest of the things I'm saying. But I think to a certain extent you can use the way that you're talking in other instances and in like other ways to really like show that. And then when you get closer to the person, then, or they find out later that like you're also like super into your faith and that kind of thing, like I feel like there's a beauty in like just not shoving it down people's throat.
Yeah, I think that's biblical too, because mm-hmm. you see the first person that Jesus said that he was the Messiah to was the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, the disciples had been walking with him for quite
yeah.
some time. And so, you know, there's some that recognize that he was different, or there was something about him right away, or they kind of came to that conclusion on their own. But, like, especially, like, with Peter, like, you know, he had been following Jesus for maybe, like, even a year.
Yeah.
And then in the conversation where he says, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
Peter says, like, you are the Messiah. Like, it's... like, they walked with him, and they followed him, and they saw who he was, they saw his interactions, and that led them to the conclusion for themselves that
mm-hmm.
he was the Messiah. And I think in the same way, in the many spaces that the Lord puts us in, like, we walk with people, we love them well,
yeah.
we are honest in, like, sharing about our lives, like, of like all
if someone asks.
Yeah.
yeah,
like, if I'm talking about my weekend, like,
yeah,
yeah. I'll mention I went to church or something
yeah.
like that, but... I think it's, like you said, it's powerful when it's not, like, you're constantly, like, bombarding somebody
yeah.
with that, but they kind of come to that conclusion on their own of, like, oh, like, Grace is so joyful because, like, the joy of the Lord is in her,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like that's much more, like, meaningful evangelism
mm-hmm.
than street preaching or
yeah.
whatever. Not to say that,
yes.
like, that's not effective at times, but especially, like, if you look at the places that you're in, I feel like it's really powerful, so... Yeah, you kind of mentioned that, like, your disability advocacy led you to student government, and for those who don't know, like, Grace is, like, literally the president of everything, like, was the student ministry president in high school, was the paneletic president,
yeah.
student government president, she literally owns everything. So have you always been really interested in, like, leadership, or how have you kind of stepped into that as something that you're passionate about?
Yeah, funny enough, like, I low-key am not, like, I feel like everybody, like, hears president, and they're like, oh, she just applies all the time and just wants to be in charge of everything. It's like, I literally don't. Like, basically, like, in high school, it came about because, like, I was just really involved in campus ministry my other 3 years, and our advisor was like, you should apply for president, and I was like, okay, or run for president, and I was like, whatever, all right. And then I got here my freshman year, and there was pretty much only one thing that I, like, knew I wanted to get involved in, and that was, like, some sort of, like, medical / disability type advocacy club.
Yeah.
So I went to the club fair, whatever, I found out about that, but before that even, I went to Live the Oath, which is, like, an event put on by SGA, basically just sharing about ways that, like, our campus lives out this oath of inclusion that SJ, like, stands by. And at this event, it actually was, like, me being frustrated that got me involved in SJ. Because there were, like, 5 or 6 speakers, and they all shared about, like, a different, like, identity that they hold, that they've, like, experienced positive or negative things about the oath with. And
interesting.
No one talked about ability.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I'm, like, already frustrated with our Center for Accessibility and Disability Resources because of, like, some comments that they had already, like, said to me. I'm frustrated because no one thinks that disability is part of, like, DEI issues at all, which is just false.
Yeah.
And I'm also just really, really mad because I just walked to Chaffetz, and my body cannot always walk to Chaffetz, and that was
yeah.
a day that, like, my body was not doing well. And do you know Lydia Bullock?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, she's perfect. She works for the Girl Scouts. She's, like, their VP of DEI for, like, the Girl Scouts. Like,
okay.
Capital T, the Girl Scouts now. But she used to work in our student involvement office. So she was driving a golf cart, and I, like, my leg braces were visible, and I was walking back from Live the Oath. I was just going to go back to my dorm, and I was just, like, frustrated. I was literally walking by myself because I was like protesting my friends. I didn't even want to like walk with my new friends, whatever. It was my first day of freshman year pretty much. And I was like, oh, okay. And Lydia like pulls up on a golf cart right by me and she's like, girlfriend, do you want to ride? And I was like,
quite
yeah,
literally, yes.
Yes. I was like, literally, who are you? And like, what are you doing? But like, yeah, I'd love a ride. And I was like, I didn't know that like we could get rides. Like Cater said that like they don't really do that. And she was like, oh, well, they have to. And I was like, I don't know that they do. Cause I like was already like, I was just mad.
Yeah, you'd already had these conversations.
Yeah, I'd already had this conversation basically. And she's like, well, you should go through SGA. And I was like, you mean the people who just put that event on that didn't talk about disability at all? And she's like, yeah, I feel like that's more of a reason for you to get involved, that that's something you're passionate about.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was like literally a 2-minute golf cart ride, but she like just spoke truth every stroll of the way.
I love that.
I met with Eric Hamilton, who was the SGA president. I literally emailed him as a freshman and I was like, hey, I have a problem and I want to talk about it. So we met in the CGC and I chatted about disability stuff and he's like, oh, we literally have a Senate spot for this. I really encourage you to apply. And I was like, okay. So I became a senator my first year.
I voted for you.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Pick LaPick.
I became a senator my first year for, like, essentially disability, like, inclusion. It's called opportunity and ability. But, and I, like, got to work with the Center for Accessibility and Disability Resources. And I...
Guess who's back?
Literally, yeah. Me. Literally me. But this time with a name tag. So, but I literally... So I shared, like, my story with them again. And I was just like, hey, like, can we, like, do something or, like, change something? And the person I was talking to and Cater was essentially just like, no. And I was like, okay. So I, like, learned that through SGA we can put resolutions forward, which is essentially just a document that goes straight to the president's office if we're like upset about something. So I'm going to do that myself. I literally, like, so far in SGA I've not seen another freshman do a resolution. I'm gonna encourage it this year, so I'm excited. But my little freshman self writes a resolution with like the support of other people in SGA, which was awesome. And I basically list all of these things that I'm mad about from Cater, and it goes to the president's office, and then the president's office emails me and is like, hey, can we, can we chat? But they spoke to, like, our president at the time, Eric, and he, like, explained a lot of things. And then I got invited to the board of trustees to share my story. And one of the questions that I was asked as I was sharing my story was, would you recommend St. Louis University to another student with a physical disability? And I said, I don't think I'm supposed to say this right now, but I'm going to be honest with you because you asked, and I would say no, not right now. And every, like, trustee, faculty, staff in the room was like, oh gosh, she did not just say that. Like, what? All the staff and faculty, I think, were kind of just like, oh no.
I'm like thinking about the people that were probably in this room.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, fully. And like, the person who was like in charge of enrollment at the time was just like, oh my gosh, like, just everyone was just kind of like, she
did not
say that. But I was like, I'm going to be honest and say, like, if we are not like suited for like, that on our campus, then like no. And why would I recommend it to a friend that like will have similar struggles to me if I'm like struggling so hard right now?
Yeah. And also, like, how are they going to be confronted with the reality that there needs to be a change?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to be honest
to say like the bold things.
Literally And that goes back to what you said in the beginning of just being so bold and things that you're comfortable sharing, which I love too, because I feel like it's a common misconception for, like, Christians a lot that, oh, like, you kind of become a doormat. Like, if you follow Jesus, like, you're just so, like...
It's like, no, I'm actually convicted by him.
Yeah, like, and it's like, yeah, there's often times where, like, God calls us to wait or, like, be patient on something. But also, like, he gives us a lot of tools to, like, advocate for, like, something that you need or something that you see other people around you needing. And you see Jesus and, like, the Father, like, I just read The Parting of the Red Sea this morning.
Yes.
So, like, you know, like, he does have, like, you know, this attribute of, like, wrath. In a, like, not in, like, a scary way that we often perceive it.
No, but,
like,
he does
to advocate, like, for,
like,
his children,
yeah.
you know? Like, it's kind of like the mama bear instinct, but And so being able, like, if you're an image bearer of God, like, you are fully, like, have the authority and privilege to be able to, like, demonstrate that in, like, your own way in the places that you're called. So I think that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
Tell them. Be
yeah.
honest about that.
It was scary, but it was awesome. And then I also reached out to Panhellenic after I went through recruitment. I was like,
Listen,
hey,
y'all.
So why did we stand all of rotationals?
Yeah.
That was actually not cool that we were standing there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
More than that, actually. And basically they were like, oh, I'm sorry, like there was an accommodation available if you let the recruiter know. And I was like, no, that is universal design. Everyone should be sitting straight up. So I like said that, and then I got invited as a freshman again to share with all of Panhellenic my story. And I was like, okay, alrighty. And I shared about like the SGA resolution, and like it was at a Panhellenic like DEI like event thing.
Yeah.
And that was so good, and I just got more and more involved. And like I like am obsessed with my sorority. I love AD Pie, but I think
boom boom.
Literally boom.
Let
boom.
It be known.
Let it be known. But I also like I loved the, like, my draw to apply for Panhellenic in the first place was just, like, I want to foster, like, the whole community. Because
yeah.
I kind of disliked parts that were, like, oh, well, she's in this chapter. Like, they can't really hang out. Like, that kind of thing, which at SLU is so, like, not really a thing, but still was in some situations. So, that was me, like, my like why for like applying for Panhellenic, and I actually applied for Panhellenic VP of programming. I didn't even apply for president. And then I like got reached out to by someone on the Panhellenic board being like, hey, I really think you should also apply for president. And I was like, okay, so I'm a sophomore. I literally was a sophomore applying, and I was like, this is like, I can't.
This feels
like,
wrong.
Yeah, I've recruited once. Like, I don't really know what recruitment is. Like, please don't make what? But I like did bring it to prayer, and I was just like, if someone is like encouraging me, why not put my name in the hat? And like,
yeah,
all these chapters have to vote. They're probably not going to put a sophomore in anyway. Like, yada yada. And I ended up getting it, and I served as Panhellenic president as a junior when all of the everybody else on the board was a senior. And I was like, I feel underqualified, and like not old enough to be here. Like, mom, come pick me up. Literally is what I felt like.
Please.
But I got to like actually ensure that we were having a like accessible recruitment.
Yeah.
I frustrated people with some chanting rules that are still in place, but that is like the most like accessible for all people.
Yeah.
And like I even this year like chatted with AD Pie about it, and I was just like, let's not be the chapter that like breaks that rule and like just takes the fine, because some chapters do that, which I'm not like saying whatever about them, but I'm just saying like, let's be the place that, like, people walk in and they, like, feel like they're at home and not overstimulated if that is, like, something that they struggle with. So,
yeah.
It's, like, I don't know, just putting some, like, accessible practices in place was, like, my big goal in Panhellenic.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It's, like, I don't know, going through recruitment this year, like, on the AD Pie side and, like, watching these things that, like, I helped do last year.
Yeah.
Be, like, kept up, I guess. Was just so good. I don't know, I was just, like, really fortunate to be in the positions that I, was encouraged to run for. And then, literally, SGA president, straight up, like, Brooke Kenworthy was, like, the one that was, like, you can do it. Like,
yeah.
And I was, like, no, I can't.
Shout out to Brooke.
Literally, shout out to Brooke. But just, like, and then Rue, even, like, also, just, like, I think I knew by my, like, junior year that I wanted to probably run, but I didn't know for sure. And I think that there was just, like, a lot of signs and things that happened last year, even in, like, my prayer, that I was just, like, I think that I am, like, being called to this. And getting, like, closer with, like, administrators, faculty, staff, all the people, I just felt, like, so convicted that, like, I could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's such a great example for so many people. And I appreciate how you were honest that a lot of your initial interest in some of these things were due to frustrations,
mm-hmm.
or just discontentment with the way things were. And it's so easy to be a little bit complacent in that. Yeah. And truly, you had every right to sit there and complain and that be it. But I love that you took that initiative and, like, you took that passion and, like, did something about it. And also did so in, like, a very, like, intentional and thoughtful and prayerful way rather than just, you know, being mad and, like, sweeping through and just yelling at everyone, you know?
And don't get me wrong, I had my, like, just mad
face. Yeah, and
like,
I think...
fully...
I think that's, like, such a great example of, like, righteous anger and, like, how that can be, like, used to bring forth, like, God's purposes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, like, you saw, like, how God had you at camp to, you know, kind of go before, what was her name?
Allie.
Yeah. Yeah, and so... I'm sure you've seen some of the fruits of it now, but, like, even when you graduate and going forward, like, the things that you did and, like, the positions that you've had are gonna, like, be fruitful for many people to come.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's, like, convicting for me of, like, I'm great at complaining and I'm great at, like, being, like, oh, I think it's so stupid that this is the way things are. But, like, how can you take that to the Lord and really, like, understand how with the things that He's given you, you can, like, do something about it and, like, honor Him through that too. So
yeah.
That's like very inspiring, and I think like you're still like very young and you still have a lot ahead of you, so
yeah.
Being able to like if you're already doing that now, like I can't imagine like bigger spaces like how you're able to do that. So
yeah and like heading to like law school is like the plan, and just seeing how like I don't know, I've been kind of like discerning between like taking a gap year, doing missionary stuff for a year or two, or just, like, going straight into law school, and, what I keep coming back to is, like, where is, like, my mission field right now?
Yeah.
And, like, I truly believe that, like, even though I think sometimes the answer that, like, I want or, like, would be more fun would probably be, like, missionaries. I really am feeling called at the moment to just, like, continue my education and, like, use this time as a gift, and go to law school and, like, pursue that, and then, like, essentially, like, gain higher degrees in order to, like, serve more people.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great...
Which is just, like, crazy that I'm, like...
Desire, that's very... that's much more noble than just, you know, wanting to make a lot of money, so...
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm probably like low key not gonna make a lot of money because of the type of law I want to do, but I don't know. It's just like I feel like I'm on the right track right now, which like I feel like I've been very much so in like spiritual warfare. Even like through this summer at times, like I was in like the quote happiest place I could be, but like the like still like getting attacked of like you like should you be doing this right now? Should you be doing something else? Should you XYZ.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like doing that and like leaning on my people, and being like, I don't know, just ready to like serve the Lord with whatever comes up, comes forward, which is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing just all the things, and yeah, I can learn so much from you every time that I talk to you. Like, I mean, obviously you can't see it through a podcast, but you have bright red hair, and I feel like it just indicates just, like, how on fire you are, like, for your faith and also just, like, for the areas that you're in. So keep bringing that fire, girl. I love watching what you do.
I love you. This is awesome. I'm, like, fangirling over you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Quarter Life Queen podcast. Details about our guest, as well as any other information discussed in this episode, will be in the show notes below, so be sure to check it out. And if you have any questions, requests, or anything at all, be sure to email quarterlifequeenpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and you'll hear from me in next week's episode.